That brings us now to paper 12C, with investments in associates, joint ventures and CASI.
Yes. So in November 2012, the IFB published for comment the first draft equity method share buys and net asset changes. And the IFB proposed that the investor should recognize other net asset changes of the investee in the investor's equity, and the investor should reclassify the cumulative amount of equity to profit or loss when the investor discontinues the use of the equity method. A considerable number of respondents disagreed with the IFB's proposal, but there was no predominant view of how to account for such other net asset changes. The Interpretations Committee discussed the comments received in July and decided to resubmit its original proposal to the IFB, which had been rejected by the IFB last year. In this paper, we present possible ways forward, together with some examples with journal entries for each option. And we recommend that the IFB should proceed with the proposal in the exposure draft. Considering the fact that the IFB and the Interpretation Committee have different views, and there is no predominant view in the respondents, we think the sticking to the original proposal in the exposure draft would be the most pragmatic solution. And we note that the intention of the amendment is to reinstate the previous requirement of IS-28 before the revision to IS-1 in 2007. And we also note that this amendment is going to be a short-term solution until the IFB determines the principles of the equity method of accounting. So the question to the IFB is that, do you agree with the staff recommendation? And if the IFB agrees, the staff will start working on the final amendment based on the exposure draft. And if the IFB disagrees with the staff recommendation, as listed in the question box, does the IFB want to choose?
Staff?
Yes. I totally disagree with the staff recommendation, with mainly three reasons. I have other reasons that I would like to discuss today. The first reason I disagree with the staff proposal is the staff proposal is not consistent with the IFRS core principle, which is that any equity change other than transaction with owners shall be presented in the comprehensive income statement. So I think this is the core principle, and this is the starting point of financial statement. So therefore, staff proposal is inconsistent. I disagree. And the second reason is staff proposes recycle from the equity. And I can't understand what it's all about. If you recycle from equity, what is the difference from OCI? So creating such a recyclable equity in the financial statement makes the total mess and confusion. So it doesn't improve our financial statement at all. The third reason is the most important reason. So if you have a look at the paragraph 9, so you said the three-quarters of paragraph 9 of 12C. Three-quarters of the respondents disagreed with our proposal. And you said that there is no predominant view how to account. Yes, there is no predominant to how to do it. However, reason for disagreement is very consistent for those majority of disagreement. That is, our proposal is inconsistent with IFRS, the core principle. So in this sense, I would assume that three-quarters of respondents disagree violating our fourth principle. So if we are to persuade such three-quarters of respondents,
we need stronger principles because they are not disagreeing because of cost-benefit issues. They are not disagreeing because of operational difficulty issues. They are disagreeing because of the principle issue. So if that is the case, if we too persuade those respondents, we need stronger principles. However, I don't think staff provided better principles for your proposal. So in this sense, if we neglect such a majority view opinion in terms of principle, it will damage our credibility. So therefore, I would think we should put the option one in the paragraph 23 off the table in the first place. And I would like to discuss other options later.
You don't like to discuss, or you want to like to discuss other options?
I like other options with recognizing in profit or loss. So that is my view. But
you have not changed from your dissent.
No.
We go.
I'm not agree. And but I'm not
with stuck or with the stuff maker?
Both. I feel OCI is only choice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For the following reasons. Firstly, I totally agree with Taka. We confuse equity from comprehensive income. And Taka mentioned about recycle. You know, it's a good signal, you know. We propose to recognize inequity, but then later on, propose to recycle later on. I think it's not acceptable, you know, proposal. And when I was in Beijing 3 weeks ago, and the Chinese Center said also feel, you know, you confuse yourself. Of course, we may have our own logic. That is, we are now discussing OCI, and we have not decided yet. But they say, you know, it's your problem. You not decide OCI, but this does not mean you should conclude you park something which you're not sure yet into equity, yeah, which is totally against our principle. Yeah, fully agree with Taka's view on this. And I try to link our current discussion on OCI. You know, assume we landed by the end the narrow scope, and then assume you accept my view to put in OCI. Then we later on change it from OCI into profit loss. And the logic, the reason very simple, is we can say we change our conceptual framework based on new conceptual framework. It should not be OCI, it should be profit loss. It would be straightforward. If we take a broad view, and may we feel it should be OCI or should we not? But I feel hard to accept to put these things in equity. And in the past, we have one item we are not have problem, that is the revaluation PPE. And we have not decided how to do it, and we discussed during our conceptual framework project. But at least we can find some reasons why from beginning we put into OCI, put into equity. Firstly, during that time, no OCI. And secondly, there is some kind of capital maintenance ideas behind that. And people, I feel, not generally accepted, but at least many people feel this is one of the reasons why during that time we put into equity. And last one, I want to say, you know, Taka quoted some of the views from our constituencies, and I support. But the staff also quoted views from users, even though not so many users express their view. But in this case, users' view, at least from two groups, are so obvious they favor OCI.
Mary?
I also do not support the staff recommendation. I support instead alternative 3, which is to halt the discussions on this issue and stop the Narrowscope project. If we step back, Narrowscope projects are supposed to be relatively quick wins on a pretty focused area. And if we get 3/4 of the respondents saying, you're going the wrong way, you know, in this, I think that's a sign to think again. And if on top of that we have the interpretation committee coming back and saying, we don't support finalizing it as proposed, I think we should not, you know, override those two sets of recommendations and go ahead and finalize our initial conclusion, because I think we've learned that this Narrowscope project isn't as straightforward as we think it is. When I look at the other alternatives and assess them myself, I say, I don't think we can go back to pre-2007 because of the subsequent changes we've made about non-owner movements going into OCI. I think I am very troubled with the idea of adding a new item of OCI at this point in time. And I think from a process perspective, this just kind of contradicts the basis on which we work with the interpretation committee on Narrowscope projects. So I just say, we tried. We've learned that this is a significant issue in terms of the division of views in terms of core principles. Let's note that, and let's stop work on this project rather than continuing to invest in it, because it isn't a, relatively speaking, quick win. So, view 3.
How do you deal with diversity in practice?
Well, I think we have diversity in practice now. We know that. Interestingly, the diversity in practice we have does not include what is being recommended as our way forward, because items cannot be recognized in OCI unless they're explicitly permitted or required by a standard to do so. And I think the same would apply to direct recognition and equity. So, you know, so the recommendations here wouldn't be allowed. I think it's a known area of diversity. I think it maybe highlights the importance of somebody explaining how they are treating these transactions if they have them. But I think we've learned that this isn't a quick fix that we can package up and solve. So I'd rather live with the diversity than a bad patch.
A known unknown.
Well, I think I agree with Mary. Part of the problem with this is that I feel we're bundling quite different transactions into one thing and trying to find a common solution. So we've got the associate issuing shares, the associate buying back shares, and the associate doing share-based payments, issuing options. And those three examples are at the end of 12C. And I spent some time trying to understand what are the economics of these transactions and what accounting most faithfully reflects those economics. And I'm not sure a common approach to all three of those situations actually works. Because in some of them, you think, well, yes, there is a partial disposal, and we should have a gain or loss on that disposal, and therefore P&L is the right answer. But then you go to the share-based payments and the stock option issue, and it just gives a stupid answer. So that suggests to me that maybe we're bundling these things into one and not necessarily getting to an answer that applies to all of them. I wonder whether, I struggle to, as I said, link the economics with the accounting, and I wonder whether we need a bit more analysis to take these examples a bit further and really investigate whether we're comfortable with the eventual outcome. I tried to do that, and I have to say that I struggled. I don't think we've done enough, and I think we should pause.
Some views. I think that IS1 was one of the very significant improvements we made in clearly restricting equity movements, transactions between the entity and its owners. I think we should protect this principle. And anything we do that will weaken it is a disaster. I think alternative 1 is probably the worst of all the possible solutions. I'm not sure whether 2-1 or 2-2 is the answer. Maybe as Steve said, sometimes 2-1, sometimes 2-2.
But I don't think we should proceed with the proposal, because really it's against IS1, which is a fundamental, for me, principle, and also the framework. We have some work in process on the framework to define what is performance, what goes through CI, what goes through PNL. I think we should not conclude on this one before we know more about the reaction to our proposals, and then we can decide whether some transactions should go to OCI or some should be recognized in PNL. So my proposal is to stop for the moment, wait a little bit until we have some more feedback on the framework, and then consider how we can solve this issue.
Gary?
At the risk of piling on, I also disagree, but for perhaps even additional reasons that are in there at the end. But I think in the end, I sort of mostly agree with Mary's. I think we should halt it for the reasons that everyone's disagreeing with here. But the if we're going to support something, I actually would support option 2.1, which is if your investment is reduced, you got a gain or loss, and your investment is increased, you sort of, I acquired something, and you should do that at cost. And the reason why, when I look at paragraph 21, it says the interpretation committee observed that other net asset changes investee are economically similar to direct acquisitions of disposals and should be accounted for similar to disposals. I actually don't agree with that. To my way of thinking, if an investor buys or sells, there's an effect on cash. If an investee sells, the investee's got the cash, not the investor. So I've always had trouble going back for many years that they are economically similar. Is it's where the cash resides, in your control or your investee's control. But taking that logic, if you assume that they are similar, well, if you had a direct sale or a direct purchase, you would be in option 2.1 as your answer, which would be either gain or loss if I had a sale, I have additional cost basis for my investment if I had a purchase. So I would think that's the preferable answer. But in view of the diversity of discussions around the table, in fact, the interpretations committees had trouble with it. And these are pretty substantive reasons why, as opposed to, you know, hair splitting nuances, I think the right answer probably is to, you know, pencil down, halt this project, and let, you know, whether it's the equity project or conceptual framework or another one, move forward is probably the best answer. And you're no worse off with the diversity tomorrow than you have today. You know, that's, I don't think we've done any harm.
Can I ask Gary Widgerick scope out the call options, which was their original proposal?
I'd have to think further about that one, too.
Okay.
A couple of things I want to make a comment here. One is that I think initially when we issued the exposure draft, we have gone ahead after considering the IFRIC decision, and we have gone ahead and issued the exposure draft. I think it is my view, once we have taken over the project, it is incorrect, and it is to some extent disrespectful to IFRIC to go back and give it to them for a project with that we have rejected them. So I think there is a mistake there in my mind in the process of going back to the IFRIC. So I would not consider so much the IFRIC's second thing, because we have taken this project and we have gone ahead and said, we ignore the fixed comment and we go ahead and issue the exposure draft. Nothing has changed from the exposure draft in terms of what Kaju is proposing as finalization, number one. Number two is that when I looked at the comment letters or when I looked at the diversity in the comment letters, one needs to appreciate one thing. The very fact there is a diversity is reflected in the comment letter. But nobody has come out with any single answer. Mm-hmm. Just to talk about TAC's own constituency, Krupp of Japan, supported this view, and there are other users who have supported this view. And if you look at it, there's one predominant view, that the predominant view that's supported is, of course, granted, we are not going democracy, we are not going by vote, but still, 25% of the people supported this. It doesn't mean that 75% supported one view, and we are not going against them. It is complete diversity. It shows that this board needs to show leadership rather than just punt it down the road. And this is what is happening. If you postpone this, you're not going to pick this up for 5-6 years, and let's be honest about it. And the 2007 amendment was, to some extent, I was not on the board, but from my understanding is that the 2007 amendment was an inadvertent amendment that affected this, and it was not the intention of this 2007 amendment was this. So if we had kept this, I don't think this board would have sat here and turned the decision. So to some extent, it's the going back to the timing. So I feel, and let us not kid ourselves, the equity transactions are quite common in occurrence across the world. As IFRS spreads around the world, you will have more and more transactions coming up with it. Not having a guidance in this area and keeping quiet and allowing people to, some people to recognize if Tak is the auditor, the preparer, he will do profit and loss account, and I don't know what Mary and Gary and Steve will do because they will not account for it maybe. Or somebody will do OCI, somebody will do equity. So I really feel that this board deciding after spending so much time and going back and saying that we will fund this, and trust me, this is not going to come out for another 5-6 years, would be a total lack of leadership. Especially when we very well know that there is a diversity in practice, when we very well know that the comment letters could not show any single thing, I think it would be failure on my part for this board not to decide on it.
Can I, just for your information, the staff recommendation is not what the Japanese analysts supported. They supported one of the options that the staff is rejecting. They say OCI. So it's a different,
The cost,
Patricia?
They rejected Tak's position.
That's more important for me.
So I agree with everything PK said. I mean, ordinarily, I would take Mary's view that we should take the advice of the Interpretations Committee. But we already rejected the advice of the Interpretations Committee when we went forward and issued the exposure draft. So the fact that they're being consistent doesn't mean that we should be inconsistent. And again, it's clear from the responses to the ED that while no one believes our solution is optimal, but there's clearly no indication of a direction where people think there is an optimal solution, which is a clear indication that the problem is not so much with our proposal or with any of these proposals as it is with the underlying equity method. And we've got a project, we're going to take that on, but it's going to start with the DP, it's going to start with research, it's going to be a long time, and there is diversity in practice. And I can tell you that analysts, and it's clear from what Prof Japan said, that they don't want these things going through profit and loss. And so I think the only way forward is to finalize the ED as we proposed it.
I disagree. We shouldn't, at least we shouldn't go through the equity. That is the, as Philip said, that is the worst choice. We shouldn't go there. And the other choice is whether we should go OCI or profit or loss, or just leave as it is. So the third choice, that to leave as it is, could be a solution. However, as PK pointed out, there is a significant serious divergence in practice, so I think we need to address it. So then the choice would be OCI or profit or loss or IFRIC solution. And then if you look at the principle, then it's quite clear it is transaction with the comprehensive income. So then the choice is either OCI or profit or loss. And the equity IFRIC proposal has a serious problem. I understand Gary's point. Let's take it as if a parent company doing acquisition and a disposal. However, in terms of disposal, it is same as the parent company. But in terms of acquisition, SAF's proposal is zero cost acquisition. So in the case of parent company's direct acquisition, you have to recognize the cost of the acquisition. So that makes a big difference. So if you allow zero cost acquisition, then you can enjoy the gain whenever you sell. So this would cause a serious cherry picking issue, and also it would be unmonitorable investment balance, because investment balance does not match with the parent's investment book, so it cannot be monitored by percentage. So it will cause a serious mess. So therefore,
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Because the purpose is to make it equal, so I don't understand what you're saying.
No. If we follow the IFRIC proposal.
IFRIC proposal.
I'm talking about now IFRIC proposal for a moment. If we follow the IFRIC proposal, then it would be monitorable. So therefore, I don't think IFRIC proposal is a viable proposal. So then the rest is either OCI or profit or loss, and this is consistent with our principle. However, I have some hesitation to go to the OCI, because OCI is the current conceptual issue. So the only residual available is profit or loss. And SAF says this is not the performance of performance, therefore they SAF disagree with recognize it in the profit or loss, but I disagree. I think this is part of the performance, because equity accounting is not the accounting of investees, but it is the accounting for the investor. And somebody says it's a one-line consolidation. However, yes, it is a part of one-line consolidation. However, this is just after the acquisition. So this issue is talking about acquisition or disposal issue. So at the time of acquisition or disposal, one-line consolidation is not the case for the equity accounting. So therefore, I think the example shown in the in paragraph 32 or C. So in the case investee issue additional share, and then in that case investor agrees that transaction issuing additional share, but not join that transaction. That is the decision made by the investor, and investor suffers a decline of percentage of the investment. So that is investor decision. It is the realization of value. So it is a part of the performance. So I don't think it's to recognize it, the profit or loss is not a problem at all. So therefore, I strongly believe that we should go to the option 2-2.
Martin?
Well, I agree with that proposal, because I think I have not heard any new things. We all discussed it already and decided that we should go with this proposal. And as I said, I have not here heard any additional things. And we thought, okay, it was really a big diversity in practice and we should solve it. And we were aware that the reason for this problem comes from equity accounting, and we knew that, okay, that we want to address it in a discussion paper, but not now. And we have purpose of that project was to close really the diversity in practice, and we discussed all the arguments, and we decided against IFRIC that we should do it against equity. And I don't see why we should now stop the project, because as I said, I have not heard any additional or new things. Therefore, I think
I agree with Martin. That doesn't make a very strong impression of the board that we deviate first from an IFRIC suggestion. We come up with an exposure draft, and then, surprise, surprise, because there's huge diversity in practice, we get a huge diversity of views. Yeah. And then we would decide to just let it be.
Yeah,
it doesn't make a strong impression at all. I mean, of course, you can come to new insights, but I don't believe for one moment that our work on a conceptual framework is automatically going to lead to a eureka moment in which everything falls into place and we decide, yes, it should be OCI or not.
We can go home.
So I mean, I could imagine that we don't, that yes, we expose, and I can imagine that it leads to second thoughts, but let them try to fix it. But to put this on the back burner and to study for 5 more years, I think it's really
crazy.
Also treating the interpretations committee very poorly. It really reflects poorly on our decision making. Stephen?
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think, although I support as mayor is that planted into the long grass, well, I'm not quite sure that was what you said, but I think I do feel that we ought to do something about this. I've got two questions. Firstly, more of a technical question on the paper. Page 9, I'm just trying to understand the Interpretations Committee's original proposal. Page 9, it says in 2.1 and then 2 in the right-hand column, at cost if the ownership interest in the investment increases, but nothing recorded for deemed acquisitions. And yet in the example at the end, it seems a loss is recognised for a deemed acquisition. So the deemed acquisition is the second example on page 17. And the Interpretations Committee original proposal, second column of the example, there's a loss recorded. I didn't understand why in one case it says nothing appears and yet in the example a loss is presented. Page 17. Interpretations Committee original proposal.
Oh, yes. I think you should look at the first column, you know, when the social buy back is shared, it's going to be an acquisition of the interest. So the Interpretations Committee proposal says they're going to.
What do you think? The reason I didn't like the Interpretations Committee original proposal was the effect it had on share-based payments.
Exactly. That's the problem. That was the problem.
And whilst I agree with sort of tax analysis of 32C, what's your view on 32D? Because that just seems to me to give a really silly answer.
32C is that
effectively negate the whole effect of paying in options within the associate.
Yes. I think that share-based payment transaction happened in the associate is quite neutral to the investor's position.
Ooh.
Because
that's what I think.
Because, you know, even if they have a share-based payment and which goes to the profit or loss of the associate, however, this is a part of acquisition or disposal-related transaction, which is related to the inception of the investment. So, if you follow the one-line consolidation notice, then everything happened in the associate must be hived up to the consolidation. That's understandable. I perfectly agree with it. However, the share-based payment transaction relates to part of acquisition and disposal of investor. So we have to think about what is the whole picture of the transaction in the consolidated basis. So therefore, I would think the share-based payment transaction happened in the associate is neutral to the investor and that's neutral to the consolidated financial.
After you believe share-based is an expense.
Do
you believe share-based options giving to the employees is an expense?
At this stage of associates, it's yes, but not at the stage of...
I disagree. I think that if an associate switches, let's say, from cash remuneration to option remuneration...
It didn't matter.
Nothing's really happened at the associate level in terms of profitability. Why should there be a change in the investor's share of its profit?
I would think the biggest shortcoming of current share-based payment issues. So we do not segregate cash settled and share settled. So that is another issue. I accepted that point. We have a flaw in the share-based payment, but in principle...
I wasn't referring cash settled to equity settled. I was saying if you, instead of paying employees in cash,
right,
you move them to... option payments,
yeah,
equity settled option,
yeah,
payments,
yeah.
To my mind, the profitability of that associate hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Why should the representation of the investor's interest in that profitability, why should that change, which is what would happen under
What happened is, it's related to the option of its own share. So that would change the structure of share capital of that investee. So that makes a change for the investor side.
But Taf, if I follow your logic,
yeah.
I don't see the entire edifice of IFRS 2 or US GAAP is that share-based payments are also expenses, right? Number one. Number two, if I hear your last word, you're saying that if it is an option on the company's share, you might be arguing, I don't know whether you're arguing, but you might be arguing that there should not be an expense even at the subsidiary level.
I don't think
it's an option on the company's thing.
No. Because it's an associate. In the case of a subsidiary.
Oh, sorry, associate. It doesn't matter, though.
It matters. So associate and subsidiary is completely different. Subsidiary, in our current understanding, is part of entity. And then, so the transaction with owners of the subsidiary is, in a sense, part of the transaction with owners. However, in the case of transaction with associates, this is completely different. We have to see the clear separation between subsidiaries and associates.
I told you last year itself, I would have agreed with your thing. The only reason I fell off
is
the share options.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason I changed it to a different answer.
Right.
Otherwise, I would have completely agreed. I still stand by it. If you come up with a logical answer to account for the share-based expenses, and they're not small, they're pretty predominant. And the logic to hold it to why a cash-based payment will have a different answer than a share-based expense, we will support your income statement. I know how passionate you are, and I completely respect that. But last year I told you, and I maintain that, I have not seen in 1 year a credible argument to stay with the P&L. And it's process of elimination. And like I said, we know this, we have rejected this trick, we went with it, and there is no point in going back to say, if we said this, or the commentator said, this is not a democracy, and we have seen no answer, and I think we have to go ahead. I respect your point, but I think your point falls off only at the P&L level, and that's the only reason, on the same basis.
This view is more consistent, too, with the thinking in our DP and our conceptual framework in terms of putting information in the same place for investors, reducing diversity in practice so that they can see transactions consistently and then evaluate them and pull them apart and assign whatever multiples they want and evaluate the persistency of those transactions. So I think it's consistent with that overall view that we've expressed in our DP.
Yeah, okay, three more and then we have to come to a conclusion. There we go.
I agree with Pat. I totally disagree with Pat. Agree with Pat is we should provide more information, relevant information. But I disagree with you. We put long position. You know, Philippe and I hold such a strong view. You know, if we put something in between profit loss, and we may say, oh, the reason why we miss is because we don't have a clear definition between them. But if we put something in equity, and some years later, people say, oh, why the board did so? they're so mad. It's obviously it's wrong. It's because it is not equity transaction. And we put into equity. And my feeling is, you know, we can choose between maybe three of them all not the so obvious the best answer, but we should not choose among those which is the worst.
Gary?
Having listened to the discussion, I'm warming up to we should make a decision. I don't know if we're going to have consensus on what that may be. But the question for Michael, and I'll have a follow-up on it. In option one, we'd put everything into equity and reclass it, you know, into P&L when you discontinue the equity method. But on the first issue today, when we're dealing inside with group-related parties in certain circumstances, we'll take a full gain. I mean, can you reconcile why the two? I mean, the opening said these are all related. You know, so when you're transfer a business to something you might own, you know, 40% of, you would take a full gain. Here, you've got also, you know, affiliates doing some transactions. You would take, you know, no P&L. I mean, just help me get between the two.
What this project and this issue is about is all about transactions that the associates undertake. And the gains and losses that it records and how we reflect the investors' interest in those using the equity method of accounting. I would see the earlier discussion that we had as being quite different because that's about transactions between the investor and the associate. And so that's where I would draw the distinction here. So I'm not troubled by any kind of inconsistency on this point.
But we say we would reclass it to P&L when the investor discontinues use of the equity method.
Yeah.
Now, I think the inference is when you fall below a certain number of share ownership to, but there's other reasons why you might discontinue the equity method. You know, sustained losses, bringing your investment to zero, I think you tend to stop. You don't have a negative investment. You might put up for sale. There's other reasons why you might discontinue the equity method. I think in the context of this, I think you mean when your proportionate interest in the number of voting shares normally allows you to have significant influence, I think, would be the clarifier you would need.
It's certainly, by ceasing to do equity accounting, it means it's no longer an associate, it's not a joint venture either.
Well, if you just had losses and you got below zero in investment, I think you'd discontinue the equity method.
You'd discontinue recognizing income, you wouldn't discontinue the equity method.
Harry's just saying don't focus on the mechanics, focus on the principle, which is they no longer qualify as associate or JV.
Okay. First, the stock options, share best payments, I don't see such a big problem. What happens at the investees level, the debit P&L, credit equity, so total equity doesn't change.
Yeah.
So what you account for, the basis is the same. What happens is that you are diluted as an investor because there are more shares on your ownership percentage diminishes, so you are diluted. Dilution, to me, on the basis of an unchanged equity means a loss. Debit to P&L.
What if the options not shares?
Okay, there are these complexities, but in principle, there could be any dilution or reduction of your ownership, either debit or credit to P&L, maybe OCI, but let's say P&L for a while. So I don't see a big problem with that. Now, I'm warming up also to the idea that we should do something okay if we really want to show leadership and to reduce diversity. But let's try to do something which makes sense and doesn't go against, one, the majority of respondents, two, the historic view, and three, our basic principles. At least don't choose option one. Yeah. And my second best choice is, okay, say everything goes to P&L until we know whether something should rather qualify for OCI, and that we will know later on. So if you want to reduce diversity, okay, all those transactions go to P&L, fine, I can accept it.
I think we should take a vote and see if the board's original proposal sticks. If not, we can think about other alternatives in the next board meeting. But I think
exactly what I was going to propose. So let's first see who can support staff recommendation as it is.
page. That's not enough. So who can support not doing anything at all?
Three.
Okay, so that means we have to do something different.
Unless it's either PNL or FCI or another relook altogether.
Well, that's not going to help.
Why do you say these things?
Huh?
Are you going to vote for
delay?
Yes, because what I want to say is we have one example really good. We delay NCR put several times, you know.
Here,
don't go on a bad example.
Here we have a second proposal from IFRIC. We have the second best proposal from IFRIC, which is also an alternative view in the ED. It's been exposed. So why don't take a vote on this, which is 2-2 in this paper?
Was there merit in Stephen's suggestion, or are you taking Stephen's suggestion forward about treating share-based payments differently to treating everything else?
It becomes more complicated.
I mean, we cannot future-proof it.
We cannot future-proof it. That's my problem.
It's something we haven't necessarily considered. It seems like for normal normal transactions, we can probably settle around an answer, but share based is the one that's really throwing us.
Interpretations committee couldn't come up with an answer.
Yep. Interpretation committee came up with the problem with the interpretation committee's original proposal was they came up with you have six transactions you gave them, they gave us answer for three and said the remaining three they don't know the answer to it. That was a problem, and I really think the board considered it at length last year around this time, if I remember right, and decided that the option was between OCI and equity, and given the distaste for OCI, we ended up with equity. Let's not forget why we ended up at equity. It was a considered view of the board in the exposure draft, and that's why I feel very sad that we have not done anything different from last year, and we are changing our vote. What additional information have you got to change your vote? Last year, the exposure draft went with one dissent. That's it. One vote against.
But three out of four don't agree with us.
Who?
Don't
agree with anyone.
That also knows the loop.
Firstly,
I should emphasize. Firstly, you know, when we vote, I vote for OCI. Firstly. And secondly, you said we have not got anything. But we got so many information, you know. Don't forget, you some people express such a strong views, and if they also, you know, we emphasize their own views. You know, we get some information.
We are the only ones not re-emphasizing our view. That's the problem.
Okay.
Mary.
We had an issue teed up in the paper. Do we or do we not support staff recommendation? And that, you know, that's the analysis provided the space for that. I think we have a vote and a conclusion. I don't feel like it's a productive discussion in terms of having worked through the underlying issues, et cetera. And my suggestion is that we not try and explore further which way we go at this point in time, and instead ask the staff to come back. Even if it's largely based on us having heard the concern about share-based payments and whether they need a different treatment or not, to think about that. But I also think we should think about, as an agenda decision, how much time this is going to take up, because while it's a defined issue, we are making an agenda decision to add a project to try and answer the intersection.
No, we're not proposing to add a project. We're proposing to finalize a project.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the question is,
having heard the debate in the board, one option has dropped off.
Yeah.
There are two remaining. Would it be useful to come back, let's say, in the next board meeting with the remaining options, perhaps a little bit worked out better, having heard the arguments that have been floating around the table? Or do you tell us, well, we are not going to be able to come up with anything new relative to this thing?
Well, we can certainly rearticulate. Obviously, there's been a lot of discussion about different views here, and my concern is that there could be just that whole discussion might sort of make it not so clear as to then how to choose between the remaining two. So yes, we can come back with a rearticulation of the two remaining ones, in particular the concerns that were raised about share-based payments, because they do have an impact on one of those two remaining ones particularly, and I wouldn't want the board to make a decision without being fully conscious of that implication.
I don't like the idea of making an decision here. So I would suggest that we're not going to kick it down the road. You come back to the next board meeting and then we decide between the two remaining options.
Two, one, and two, two, I would think. Or is it?
Well, the two that I would have down would be OCI or P&L.
Can I just say something?
Yes.
The only thing I will say is that now that we got 8 votes for the original proposal of the exposure draft, I think we should keep it in play, because when we come around, maybe there will be people who will say,
once all the limitations of the other two options are clear, perhaps people might have second thoughts. So
I just don't want to discard that. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I'll take it again. 2-1, 2-2, 2-3.
We need 10 votes, right?
Yes. 9 is enough. 10?
And then 2-1 was...
A different one altogether.
A variant of that is indeed you. No? Does Samit understand it? At least Kat. So they, you take it away. I think we should
Kat, I see.
Okay.
Let's resume this next month. Okay. Thank you. No break yet. Let's take a break till 10:30, okay?